You are listening to the Faith Imparting, Life-Giving, Blessed Ministry of Itumeleng Mokganya, founder of Gospel Harvest International. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's Word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
I want to speak about a life which has been made available to us. Jesus said concerning the life which He was giving to those who would ultimately believe in Him, that He had come to give them life and life more abundantly, which means it's not just like the life who those who do not know Him are experiencing. It is a life which carries with it great abundance. It is a life which gives righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that is ultimately what it means to be in the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter number 5 from verse 1 to 11, it reads as follows. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I want us to look at the word blessed and the two words which are always translated in the English language as blessed. There's actually four of them, two in the Hebrew language and two in the Greek. In Matthew chapter number 5 verse 3 it says, blessed are. In Hebrew as in the Greek, there are two words that are translated into the English as blessed. The two Greek words parallel the Hebrew words. And it is important for us to understand the differences between them. One of these Greek words, eight logio, has the Hebrew word barak behind it in the Old Testament. Eulogio does not appear in the Beatitudes. This word is used in prayer when the worship leader asks God for some blessing that the individual or community is eager to receive from God. Eulogio is the right word for, O Lord, bless so-and-so. O Lord, bless the children. And this is a word which in essence means to have favor, to have fortune, to be bestowed with great opportunity and riches. And then there's a second word, the word that Pastor Mark shared with us last week, and its Hebrew partner is the Hebrew word asrei, and it is the Greek word makarios. And in Greek, these words in their cognates are described as not part of a wish and not to invoke a blessing. But this word bless, in essence, rather recognizes an existing state of happiness or good. And it was often a term that was used to describe the Greek gods. It was a state that was known as a state of bliss. It had nothing to do of what you had or didn't have. It was simply a state of being, an experience that was made available. And so when we translate this into the New Testament and into the understanding of these Beatitudes, in essence, it speaks about an experience which is available for us. To be blessed means to be made happy or to find yourself in a divine state. It has nothing to do of what you have or what you don't have. It is in essence the type of life which is a divine life, the Zoe life of God, which Christ has come to give us. And this is what it means to be in the kingdom. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. The right standing which has been restored between us and God through that which Christ has accomplished allows us to access a peace. And that peace is not dependent on circumstances. And because that peace is not dependent on circumstances, we can in essence experience the joy of the Lord, which is not a happy emotion. It is a state of being. So let's understand the saying of Jesus by understanding the word blessed. The Beatitudes do not mean, and I'd always believe this, blessed are the people who do X because they will receive Y. The points in the exhortations of Jesus is not for a certain type of behavior. Instead, they should be read with the sense, look at the authentic spirituality and joy of these people who have or have been given the X. Put in concrete terms, we would say, bless is the happy daughter of Mrs. So-and-so because she will inherit the family farm. The woman in question is already happy and is already the happy daughter of Mrs. So-and-so. She is not working to earn the farm. Everyone knows that a key element in her happiness and secure life is that she and the community around her know that the farm will one day be hers. The special feature of this word makairos, as seen in the New Testament, is that it refers overwhelmingly to the distinctive joy that becomes expressed and made available to us by the Spirit of God, which accrues to men for his share in the salvation of Almighty God. So by the mere fact that we are in the kingdom of God, we have as something which is available to us in the realm of the experience that we can accept by faith, righteousness, peace, and joy. And we should never allow the things that take place in the natural to move us from that which God has already declared as a state in which we have been called unto and has been made available for us. And so let's look at these kingdom blessings which are available to us as believers. The first blessing is that the kingdom is ours. In Matthew chapter number 5 verse 3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does Jesus mean by the poor in spirit? Luke merely says, "Blessed are the poor." Jesus, part of the prophetic tradition like Isaiah, understood the word poor as to mean to be humble and to be pious. Matthew's phrase serves to bring out the original meaning that Luke had presented. Isaiah chapter number 62 verse 2, from which Jesus borrows this language, clearly tells us what it means to be poor, which in essence means to be humble, to recognize your destitute position without God. Jesus goes on to affirm these blessed ones make up the membership of the kingdom of heaven, which is already theirs. In this beatitude, Jesus declares that the poor in spirit already possess the kingdom. Many people at the time of Jesus used this phrase of the kingdom of God to describe a Jewish state where God alone would be king. In contrast, Jesus declared that the kingdom was already present in those who are poor in spirit. Mount Zion, as referred to in the Old Testament, which is a place that cannot be shaken, is a type, a physical type of that which has been made available to us in the realm of the spirit, God's kingdom. When we are in the kingdom, nothing is to shake us and cause us to waver when we recognize the state in which we've been exalted to. The old Syriac translation of this text reads, "Happy it is for the poor in spirit, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The second blessing is that God comforts us. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This is a clear case of a divine passive. In the Greek, the divine passive occurs when an action is done by unmerited force and when thus assumed to be God. It always reminds us of how God is working in our lives at all times. The Good News Bible turns this passive into an active state and translates it the way it should be understood. Happy are those who mourn, God will comfort them. Christians are urged never to seek suffering. They are, however, encouraged to recognize that suffering is an extraordinary teacher. We know little about the great depths of the human spirit until we've endured great pain. Pain rearranges our priorities. Mourners endure suffering, and the blessed ones among them experience the comfort of God. In essence, Jesus was sharing with the disciples the type of experience that his people will experience that the world cannot experience. That's why he would say that we do not mourn as those who do not have hope. While we mourn, even though we experience the same pain, we have the reality of a God who is comforting us. Thirdly, the whole earth is our precious inheritance. He says, blessed in verse 5 are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? These are those who acknowledge the great and gracious will of God. In the first century, the area that encompassed Galilee, Samaria, and Judea was torn with wars and rumors of wars. And such an affirmation would have resonated deeply with the powerless in Jesus' audience. So in essence, despite that which is taking place all around the world, we can have this blessed experience because we know that ultimately the earth shall be ours in the millennium reign, and particularly when God removes all the ungodly and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Number four, another blessing which is available for those in the kingdoms is that they are satisfied. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In a world where water was scarce and travel was very tough in the region where Jesus lived, his listeners would have known what it meant to hunger and thirst after food and water, and thus could understand what Jesus was saying about an all-consuming passion for righteousness. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who live righteously and maintain a righteous lifestyle. Rather, he affirms, blessed the true ones who experience the joy which is defined are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This presupposes that righteousness is something that the faithful continually chase afterwards. This beatitude concludes with the following, for they shall be satisfied. This is another case of a divine passive. God is the one who will satisfy them. A fifth blessing, in brief, is the experience of the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they are obtaining the mercy of God. Number eight, the sixth blessing is that it says, blessed in verse 8 in Matthew chapter number 5, blessed are the pure in hearts, for they shall see God. The pure in hearts are those who will one thing. The idea of purity in the Hebrew culture always spoke of something that of one substance. And so they would describe purity when something was only made up of one substance in its nature. So if you translate it to spiritual understanding, we are pure when our mind, emotions, and our will wills the same thing that God wills after. Oftentimes, because of the flesh, we find ourselves willing different things, and we become double-minded, which means our mind becomes made of two things, the worldly way of thinking and the scripture way of thinking. And in essence, we become impure and unable to have a revelation of who God is. The seventh blessing is that we will be known as the sons of God. The eighth blessing is that the kingdom is reaffirmed that it surely shall be ours. And the ninth blessing is that rewards await us in the heavenlies. So when we recognize this state which has been made available to us, we have to live and respond not according to what we feel, but in accordance to what we know. And that's why Paul would say in Romans chapter number 8, these things we know. And he would continually use that term, this we know, this we understand, this we comprehend, because he uses that to influence him and to be the thing that would help him to conduct his way of life. The problem with us as Christians is that we live from the outside in. We live by what we feel through the five natural senses, and then we try to translate that into the spiritual man. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, I serve God with my spirit. If he serves God with his spirit, it's got nothing to do with what he feels and what he's experiencing from the outside realm. And we become thus defeated when we choose not to submit to the kingdom of God, but to the kingdom of the evil one, to that which is governed and is governing the five senses and all that is in the natural.
We thank you for listening today and for your continued support to Gospel Harvest International. Do you know that with your giving, we are able to continue supporting the many different missions that we do and changing the lives of countless people? Have you been blessed by today's message? Go to our website, www.gospelharvest.co.za, for more life-changing messages like this.